Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communications. I'm so glad you guys are here with us tonight, and we have a lot of fantastic questions. But before we get to them, I would like to tell you about our sponsor, The One Institute. The One Institute is a wonderful organization for empowered communication, and it is Dr. Allen's brainchild. The One Institute, you can see their website at www.oneinstitute.org. And also, I want to start by saying, we're on the air, Dr. Allen. How are you feeling tonight?
I'm very good. Had a creative day.
I understand that because we had such an enormous demand for your last seminar that the wonderful Susan Wagner was able to put together another date.
I know. Chemistry, compatibility, and communication.
Yes,
three
and
C's.
It's going to be...
Or the three L's. Lust, like, and love.
July 5th, 9 to 5.
Yes.
Holiday
Day Inn. After 4th of July.
Yeah, Holiday Inn Long Beach. Dr. Allen, can you tell me a little bit about what you're going to be teaching them on that wonderful day?
Well, what we're going to teach is three basic things. Number one, how to make decisions rationally, not emotionally, especially in the area of sex and love when we're absolutely wacko.
Yes, I remember being like that.
Yes.
A time or two.
And then we're going to go into cleaning up language so that we don't intimidate or seduce. Instead, we negotiate. I'm okay, you're okay.
Okay.
And then the third aspect of the day is I teach how to fight with respect and cherishing.
You know, I know some of the people I work with have a little bit of a hard time with that.
Most human beings do.
Yeah.
You see?
And that's when you tell them to use that famous timeout symbol.
Yes, that's true. And in the afternoon, you know, about 3 o'clock, we do what is normally called a practicum, in which people can ask their personal, they can get on the hot seat as couples or as singles.
Wow,
and
that's amazing.
And I will deal with them. And we all learn from that volunteer, vulnerable kind of demonstration. So it's a communication. I work with what is chemistry?
Right.
And what does it do to us? And what's the difference between under 50 couples and over 50 couples?
And there
does it change?
There are
big differences.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's true. So we teach chemistry and compatibility. You have a lunch assignment, which is to write out your wants and not wants in the area of time, alone, together, and with other people. You get to write down what you want in the way of living conditions.
Right.
Money issues, how to do it, dollar for dollar or negotiating percentages. And then you go to the ever-popular sexual and non-sexual play, I, we, and us. And I want to let you know, as interesting as it is, that I am a therapist, not a moralist. So if people want to be gay or they want to be lesbian or they want to swing, I am very, very comfortable helping anybody negotiate anything. The only thing I can't approve of and must report is child abuse, elder abuse, and disabled adult abuse.
Right.
Everything in the rest of the world, especially, remember, this is a sensual sexual. It's based on the wonderful work that I have learned through my certification as an addiction specialist, Harvard University Medical School, McLean Hospital. I just went there and got some more hours.
Fantastic.
Everything I learned about addictions in alcohol and naturally what follows quickly, sex.
Right.
So I am raring to go, and I'm a good database for being virtuous through science, not through philosophy, not through religion, but through science.
And that's really important because there's so many different religions and moralistic values that we
can't... Above the waist, below the waist.
And we can't do that, but science is science.
It's, you know, what I often say? God made every part of the body, including genitals.
Right. And at one point, we were all naked. So hello, people. Everybody, this seminar is fantastic. Dr. Allen's work is amazing, cutting edge. And
you know, it really is.
It really is.
I went to Harvard recently, and I thought, well, I'm going to learn what I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what? I know what they know.
So please go to www.wantistore.com. You can sign up there for this seminar. $95, 9 to 5, Holiday in Long Beach, July 5th. A fantastic day with Dr. Allen. And maybe even hop up there on the hot seat and see what you find out. Dr. Allen, what have you got to say to us tonight?
I'm going to just answer questions, if you don't mind.
I do not mind.
And I want to thank you, Kelly Ward, for being the hostess for this show. And I think it's wonderful you're in college studying to be a therapist.
Yes, I am.
Isn't that wonderful?
And I'm loving every minute of it. And it's been really empowering for me. I've done my WANT training, and I get to use that with my current clients for through the WANT Institute, and expanding and moving my career forward into therapy is something that I'm really, really looking forward to. And I have a great mentor.
Well,
you, Dr.
I'm the CEO, director of the WANT Institute. Susie is the CFO,
yes.
Finances, and you're the COO.
Yes, I am.
So with us moving and shaking our little 501c3, I think we're going to make a difference in the world.
I think we are, too, and I think we already have. I think, Dr. Allen, you've made a huge difference in the world and in a lot of people's lives, which is just, you know, at the end of the day, it's something that you have to be
Remember,
proud of.
Remember, we need three things in life. We need someone to love.
Yes.
Something to do.
Yes.
And something to look forward to.
Yes, we do. We need that. I totally agree. And so with that, I have a wonderful gal who on Facebook asking a really important question about being alphas. And because, Dr. Allen, you're an alpha.
Yes.
And I'm an alpha.
Yes, you are.
We both know that. And so she's saying, Dr. Allen, can an alpha be a yin? I'm a stay-at-home mom. I'm mothering a small child. Sometimes I feel yang. I think I'm yin. How do I find out if I'm an alpha, if my partner's an alpha? I don't know. And P.S., Dr. Allen, I miss you. So
okay. Well, the point of alpha, there's a wonderful book out there. People are going to say, there's that lady saying another book. But that's what I do. I'm a book addict.
Well, and that's why you're so well-versed in all of this.
But scientific. I'm not into novels, and I'm not into fiction. You know? I was fiction. I read Forever Amber when I was little.
Uh-huh.
I read, what is that one? I forgot it, but it was a big thing. And I've got the gray, you know, whatever.
Right.
So the only time I did it just showed my who I was. I read things having to do with sexuality.
Right.
You see? So the issue of alpha.
Yes.
There's two ways to think about alpha. One is genetic. There are two cultures that naturally believe that you are who you're born to.
Yes.
The cloth. England, king down to scullery maid.
Right.
And India, Brahmin and the untouchable.
Right.
Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the world likes to believe that we're all equal. Do you see? Now, the problem is, I like Carl Jung, and he liked Chinese quantum physics, which is yin and yang.
Yes.
And it's over 2,000 years old.
Yes.
That each of us is a cosmic egg. Yang energy is very doing, it's very active, it's very... Men have yang bodies.
Yes.
But yin souls.
Right.
The anima.
Right.
They're very feminine. And if their yang is anchored in their yin, we call them gentlemen.
Ah, yes.
And women have yin bodies.
Yes.
You see?
Yes.
Which are built to receive and give back. They give us the tiniest little cell, the sperm, and we give them back at least one five-pound baby. You see?
Yes.
That's compound interest.
Yeah, at least one. Sometimes two, sometimes three.
Sometimes eight.
Wow, yes, that's true.
We did that too.
Octomom.
Okay. Then, So that's what a woman is.
Right.
So in every relationship, there are two men. One has a male body, and one has a male soul called the animus.
Right.
Or he has a female soul called the anima, and a male soul in the woman is, as I said, the animus.
Right.
Now, the problem is, people who are alphas, their brain is thinking a mile a minute.
Yes, I can attest to that.
But their heart is feeling the effect. I want to recommend everybody read the book, edited, of Marcus Aurelius. And it's called The Spiritual Teachings of Marcus Aurelius, edited by Forstater. Because it's a readable version of what it's like to be an emperor and a warrior and a spiritual human being. His book, which was The Spiritual Teachings of Marcus Aurelius, and he was the student of Epictetus,
mm-hmm.
he wrote this ponderous little book, which was his diary, his nighttime diary.
Right.
And it came intact to civilization, and I use it to help people understand the difference between hedonism, which is me, 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 it, 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 gratify, 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 and stoicism. I do what's right no matter what the pain is. So you're either born to the cloth, do you see?
Yes.
In two cultures, or you're probably a beta, which is predominantly male. Guy may make lots of money.
Right.
And she is a beautiful, beautiful woman. But his heart does not match his brain, and her brain doesn't match her heart. And they fit together beautifully. And alpha men love to herd up a harem of beta women that serve him.
Right. I think we have a call, Dr.
Okay.
Allen. Let's see. Hello, caller. You're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I have a question for Dr. Pat Allen regarding finances. My fiance and I both have jobs.
Good.
And
in today's world, that's a good deal.
Say that again?
In today's world, it's a good deal to be employed.
And so my question is, how do we, I know you talked about having the time, the play.
Time?
But the money.
Money.
How do you do money?
Okay. Do you make equal money between you? Are you fair? Are you within $5,000 of each other?
Yes.
Okay, so you have the capacity to do a lifestyle dollar for dollar. Do you see, there's your money, his money, and our money.
You see?
So with that in mind, for example, here's different ways of doing it. If you decide to get a credit card for your entertainment and your trips and whatever, and you both make roughly the same amount of money, you each put in equal amounts of money and use that card to pay for whatever you decide to use it for. But if you make different, for example, you make more money than he does, which is happening today, then you put in a percentage. For example, if you make $400,000 maybe, and he makes $200,000, you would put in twice as many dollars into the kitty to fund what you're doing, but it would be the same percentage.
Oh, okay.
Do you see?
Hey, Pat, that sounds like a great idea. Thank you.
That's for entertainment. Now, for housing, you could do the same thing. But you each have your own bills and your own money to pay for whatever you decide, like hair, nails, you know, hobbies, whatever. So there's my money, your money, and our money. There's my savings, your savings, our savings. There's my investments, your investments, our investments. Do you see?
Yeah, that sounds healthy.
It is
healthy. Does that change when we get married?
No, that's what I'm talking about. That's how to do it. See, what I would do, are you engaged?
Yes.
Are you planning to get married soon?
Next year.
Are you living together?
Yes.
Okay, well, dears, all you are is an undocumented marriage. You can put together this deal right now and live by it and straighten it out and use this radio show as a way to pick my brain to keep building a good base contract. Do you see? So I've given you some ideas about money, but I have ideas about living together and chores and sex and different things. Have you read Getting to I Do?
I have.
I'm reading it right now, Pat.
You know what? That's as good as going to the women's locker room. It's a good book. It is a good book. It's been on the stands over 20 years. God did a good job through me. I'm very, very happy.
Yes, it is it's a very good book.
Good. So,
and we also got the book Staying Married and Loving It.
Oh, people want to get married. Not everybody wants to stay married. Staying married, I'll tell you what's... I love staying married. I love doing staying married.
I want to stay married, Pat. I want to stay married.
Want you to know... Remember this. Do you want to be respected or cherished first, sir?
Respected.
Do you want to be respected or cherished first, miss?
Cherished.
Good. Now you're Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers. So I want you, we're not going to break your anonymity. Fred Astaire, would you please tell her what you want her to do or think or whatever, and then ask her how she feels about it. And would you, dear, what is it, Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers, would you be so kind as to always ask him, Fred, what he thinks, what he wants, and what you can do to help him? Do you see?
Yeah.
The more you respect a man, the more he feels cherished. The more you cherish a woman, the more she feels respected. It's paradoxical.
And it's symbiotic.
See?
Awesome. Thank
Good.
You. That's great.
Go.
Thank you, Pat.
You're
Thank you,
welcome.
Callers. And hey, listen, don't forget, I don't know if you're in the Southern California area or not, but the Chemistry Compatibility Communications Seminar, July 5th, 9 to 5, Long Beach, California, might be a great thing for you two to go to together.
Oh, we'll be there, that's for sure.
Fantastic. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right, so we have another question. That was a great question.
They're all great questions.
We have got, let me see here, if I can find it on my magic pad. Okay. Can you discuss the difference between a princess and a queen, and what type of men prefer one or the other, and how for a man to be a king to stay with a queen? Can you explain that to us?
Sure. Okay. What?
I think we've got that same caller calling back in. Maybe something's going on. Shall we pull him first?
Do what you want.
Hello, caller. You're on the air with Dr. Allen.
Hi, Dr. Pat. Hello. Happy Friday.
Well, happy Friday to you.
Yes, I was actually calling. I called you guys probably about 2 months ago, and I was the caller that I was telling you guys I had gone on a date with a guy, and he became drunk on the date. And then at the conclusion of our conversation, you basically explained that I kind of muttered him. And then when he asked me to hold him, because I said no, I was rejecting him. But you had said something about ego dystonic, if I'm pronouncing it correctly.
That's right.
And that's why I was calling today, to kind of get a better understanding, because that night I forgot to ask you exactly what that meant, because now my 8 weeks have gone, and I still haven't heard from him. And I remember in our conversation you had said that I may or may not hear from him because he was drunk and clearly embarrassed.
Yes.
He may be ego. Yeah, you were saying the thing about the ego. So I kind of just wanted to get a better understanding of what exactly does that mean.
What I'm going to tell you, ego dystonic means that your ego, which is your brain and your brain and basically your mind, you've got to be able to think, and you've got to be able to do something, you've got to be able to speak. So when a person is ego dystonic, their brain and their behavior serves their soul. A man who is ego dystonic is always trying to get gratification for himself, mothering. He wants you to mother him, because the nature has built men to be ego systonic, which means their brain and their will serves their body. I want what I want. God, nature built men to conquer, compete, and control. He built women not to be, you can be a man at work, but after work you better decide if you want to be ego systonic, which is your mind and your will serves your body. I don't do what doesn't feel good. No. Period. Or ego dystonic. Oh, I better be nice to him or he'll leave me. I better mother him. Do you see? Which means I better have sex with him. And that's ego dystonic, because it's not natural.
Oh, I guess then, is there any way to change that in a person, or is this something that's not changeable? They're just set in their
Watch.
Way, but something I
Now I'm going to make my famous statement. It's one of the Upanishads. Beware of your thoughts, for they become words. Beware of your words, for they become habits. Beware of your habits, they become your character. Beware of your character, it becomes your destiny. When a mother raises a little boy to feel good, she's raising a boy to be ego dystonic. Don't be like that nasty little boy over there. And when a father says to his daughter, oh, stop crying. Your brothers don't cry. Why should you cry? You're as good as your brothers. As if being a boy when you're a girl is a good thing. A daddy is supposed to help his daughter feel good, to do good. Our bodies and our brains are very, very, when we're young, very, very sensitive. And the bodies in the brain of a healthy young man are very active, competitive, controlling. Do you see? So ego dystonic is when your brain and your will is serving your soul, which is good for saints. Honest to goodness, the Dalai Lama, who's having an 80th birthday celebration in July 5th and 6th, too, and Mother Teresa were ego dystonic. Their minds and their wills served. She served her soul by fighting for the dying. and he served his feminine soul by attempting to keep spiritual his culture, even though he's in the middle of China.
Right. Interesting. Okay, so now
Do you want a book to read?
Yes.
Here's the book. The Natural, listen how strange this title is. The Natural, which means genetic, The Natural History of the Rich. And it's by Richard Conniff, C-O-N-N-I-F-F, who writes for National Geographic, who, by the way, did a great article in 2008 about how mankind went from Neanderthal up to human. And it's the October of 2008 edition, and it's got a big Neanderthal in the front cover.
Interesting. I will definitely pick it up because I'm open to learning and trying to figure out these men that seem to, you know, these relationships that are not working out. So this at least helps a little bit more, so thank you. And I guess my last question, with that being said, because what? He never called within the 8-week period, and we have established that ego.
Do you want to do a hi bye letter?
That's the other thing. I did a letter to him. It wasn't your hi bye letter. I didn't know about that at the time that I wrote it, but it was more of a letter stating that I was kind of upset with his behavior.
No, that was a mothering
letter.
No. That was not a hi-bye letter. That was a you're a bad boy, little boy.
Yeah, and I regret sitting it, and now obviously I can't undo it. But after I tried to make it up by saying we should go out and grab a bite to eat. And he
that's
said,
mothering,
good,
too. You just mothered him again. Remember, you're the egg. The egg sits. The sperm moves. We are all either eggs or sperms, and that's straight, gay, or lesbian.
So basically the damage is done at this point, I guess.
You want to do a hi-bye? Wait, there is something. Do you want to do a hi-bye?
So you're saying that it would be okay for me to send another letter, even though he never replied to the basically after I said the first one, he said, I'm sorry you felt that way. It wasn't my intention to upset you on the date.
I know.
End of story. And then a few months later, I said, hey, do you want to have a bite to eat? He said, yeah, I'll reach out when I get back into town. He never did. And now
that's
8 weeks ago.
Okay.
He's been back in town and no, nothing.
All right.
Yeah.
What you're saying is you don't want to do a hi bye letter.
I don't want to seem crazy, I guess is what the thing is. I don't want to come across as a stalker, you know, a man that doesn't respond and now I'm sending another email. I don't want to come across as, I guess, desperate or as a stalker or him being like, okay, what's the deal with this woman? So I guess that's why I'm a little hesitant to reach out again in any form.
I appreciate that. Be hot, be cold, but don't be lukewarm. I'll show you how to talk to me. Pat, I appreciate that you want me to take a risk and write the hi-bye letter. I'm not comfortable doing that, so the answer is no. I don't want to do that. Now, how about you say it to me that way? This is part of my doctoral
work. Okay, so basically, yes, I do appreciate you suggesting me to write the hi-bye letter, but I don't feel comfortable doing it. Is there another suggestion of something that I can do that may feel more comfortable to me?
Yeah, find another man.
Oh, okay. of course, not what I wanted to hear, but the truth hurts sometimes, so I'm open to it.
Anytime you want, call back, and I'll tell you how to do the hi-bye. I've got people doing hi-byes to lovers that they had in college and high school.
Wow. Really? Okay.
Yeah,
I would be open to the hi-bye letter then to at least, I guess.
Do you have a paper and a pencil? Do you have a paper and a pen?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Paragraph one, everything you remember you liked about him.
Okay.
Second paragraph, the pain of not fulfilling your dream of a relationship with him, the incidents and the pain.
Okay.
The third paragraph is what you never want to do again. If you know of any of your mistakes, this is where you'd put it in. I never want to teach and preach, bitch and moan, and question you without your permission is one thing you might do.
Okay.
And then the fourth paragraph is what you want in a man-woman relationship. You are straight. Is that true?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Sure. Now, well, we're all ambisexual, but it's what we're practicing today that counts, okay?
Gotcha.
So the fourth paragraph is what you want in a relationship. And the fifth paragraph is thank you so much for bringing me this painful lesson so that I might never do the mistakes that I did with you.
Okay.
Got it?
Got it. I'm going to re-listen to this recording too, but I wrote most of it down. So yes, I will sit down and I will do that. And actually, even as I'm writing it now, it feels a little bit better now that I'm hearing it. It doesn't sound as daunting of a task as I initially thought it was.
Good girl. Good girl. You're teachable.
Sounds good. Well, thank you so much. I don't want to take up any more of your time for other callers, but again, I appreciate the help. Thanks again.
Thank
Welcome.
You, caller. All right, everybody, you can reach us at 323-203-0815. And Dr. Allen, back to that question about princess, queen,
oh, yes.
King, prince.
Here's what it is.
Yes.
Generally, a king, okay, a king who is ego dystonic will want a princess.
Oh, okay.
A queen whose ego dystonic will want a toy boy prince.
Uh-huh.
But an ego systonic king will want a queen who's a princess.
Ah.
And she will want a king who's a prince.
I see.
So they trade roles, and their language indicates. She says to him, what do you think about doing this? And he says to her, how do you feel about doing that?
Very interesting.
Because that's a king talking to the princess within the queen, and the queen talking to the prince, to the king, you see, from her princess. So it's a matter of when you want to be respected, you've got to be a king or a queen. When you want to be cherished, you've got to be a princess or a prince.
Now, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, it
and
does.
And I hope that my little person out there...
And by the way, we're all of that. Except if we're not aware of our communication techniques. And that's what we're teaching in the seminar. How to fight rationally, not emotionally. How to clean up your language. And how to make decisions rationally.
Right, which is incredibly important.
Oh, tremendous.
To not break down. So our caller had an interesting point. She said, I don't want to seem like a stalker.
A stalker is somebody who wants to date. Do you see, what's really interesting is that women magnetize dates. And I have no problem with women being men.
Right.
I have no problem with men being women.
Right.
December 7th, which is a ponderous day, the New York Times had a front page article about the 18% of men that are heading up families and loving it. More
right.
men are willing to be homemakers today than ever before without shame and guilt.
Right.
And Women's Lib has given women the right to be men. The
yes.
only problem is when a woman is a man and she's got a man who's a man, I've got too many men.
Right. There's too many men in the pot.
You see?
The pot is full of men. So, Dr. Allen, when you have that situation where you've got two yen or two yang,
yes,
what you really have is Two marks going the same way.
Rotation you know what I've got? Mark. I've got a great business partnership.
Right.
Those people, I think, I want, let's make a deal, dude. I wonder how many people that are listening have ruined a romantic relationship that was wonderfully sexual and respecting and all that by becoming equal partners.
I personally know the feeling. So.
You're equal at work. God love us.
Right.
And you're equal in sexless, unless it's just the perks of a friendship.
Right.
Equality goes with friendship.
Right.
Equality goes with working. But romance goes with complementarity. Equal communication destroys intimacy.
Yes.
I think, what do you think? Bash.
Right.
When a man asks a woman what she thinks and she tells it to him, he's going to argue with her. She's better off telling him how she feels about the answer that he's asking her thoughts on.
Right.
What do you think about this? I feel really good. I don't feel too good. I feel good sometimes and not good other times. And when a woman asks a man what he feels, all right, and he tells her, 9 out of 10 women start mothering and lecturing him on how he should shape up and get. That doesn't. Men's job in life is to get away from mothers by the age of 10.
Okay.
And a daughter's job is by the age of 8 to get her daddy to care about how she feels.
Right.
Boys take a little bit longer. You see, that's the Oedipal complex.
Right.
Freud. And the Electra complex is the attachment or poor attachment with dad. So dad to daughter and mother to son is the psychosexual debate that goes on that Sigmund Freud so loved.
Yes, he did. He adored it. So Dr. Allen, one of the questions tonight is, how do you determine if your partner is yin or yang?
You don't determine that. You decide what you want to be. If you're a woman, let's take the woman.
Yes, let's take her, because that's who's asking the question.
We women have a larger corpus callosum, and we can use 5,000 words to men's 2,500.
Right.
Then they're punching walls out and pray to God they're not punching us out. Do you see what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, I do.
So they tend to shut down on words.
Right.
Because words are our game.
Right.
Do you see?
Yes, I do.
And so with that in mind, if a woman is attracted to a man,
mm-hmm.
right? Oh, yes. I'm going to say something ponderous first. Men pray that we won't change after we get married.
That's true.
And women pray men will change after they get married. And this is what it looks like. She is so respectful, so feeling-centered before they get married, right?
Right.
And as soon as they get married, on the way back down the aisle, she's already telling him how to change his tuxedo collar. You know, he's not even changed his clothes yet.
Right.
But she thinks that the power of marriage, especially if she's an alpha, gives her the power of equality.
Ah.
So if a woman doesn't remember, do I want to be cherished first, respected? We all want to be cherished and respected.
Right.
Do I want him to ask me how I feel about what he thinks and wants, or do I want him to ask me what I think and want?
Right.
And do I want him to ask me what I think and what I feel and what I want and what I don't want? And he keeps his mouth shut.
I've seen those couples, yeah.
And that's not a relationship of health.
No.
So if a woman wants to be yin, please don't answer the questions, what do you think, what do you want, what's your opinion? Do you see?
She's walking down the aisle, and she's doing that. Isn't she now become a dictator?
No, see, we're all, for example, an alpha person
mm-hmm.
is both equally male and female.
Right.
All right? The smart ones know how to not use the suit that is second.
Right.
Unless they do it courteously, which is, if you ladies want to be cherished, you've got to make an appointment to get respected. Honey, I have an idea about how to do that. All the ladies in the audience, including you, Kelly, raise your right hand.
I've got my right hand
up. I promise.
On my honor.
To respect. The men in my life that I love.
Even when I know.
I am a good Yang Alpha woman. And I promise. To call the police, a doctor, or a lawyer first. Before I bring my Yang out.
To remodel him. I do.
Now, what about a man? He acts like a man before the wedding. He gives, he protects, and he cherishes.
That's right.
After the wedding, there are a lot of women hope that he becomes a boy. Ooh. And you know what that is?
What is that?
Now that you've got me, I'm going to make you the man I want you to be.
Oh, it's a man makeover.
Yes, it is.
It's man sculpting.
Yes, it is.
Oh, no.
And the balds go first.
Oh, no, and that's a bad thing.
Yes, that's a bad thing.
Because then they can't ever do what they're supposed to do with
no,
him to
what
be a
they
man.
Do, what they do oftentimes is they shut their mouth, get a mistress, stay for the kids, and that's it.
Yeah, yeah. And then you're in that loveless marriage.
Whatever. Disrespectful and uncherishing.
Yeah.
This is all I do all day is help people either speak yin or yang.
And it is a dance. And it takes retraining yourself. It really does take...
It takes rewiring. The brain is neuroplastic.
Yes.
Read Norman Doidge's book, The Brain That Changes Itself, or his newest one, How the Brain Heals Itself. Isn't that wonderful?
Which is fantastic. And
great.
We know,
Norman Doidge.
We've seen studies now where people have had brain damage in certain areas.
Yes.
And
they built brain around it.
Yeah, rewiring.
Isn't that something?
It's amazing.
So there was a doctor in France called Philippe Paul Broca who had a patient, blew a rod through his skull, didn't kill him, and the Broca was named after the muscle of speech in the left hemisphere.
Yes.
Every doctor in America has to know the area of the Broca.
Right.
I am personally committed to helping people rewire their Brocas so that they naturally speak yin, feminine, or yang, masculine.
Yes.
And then nature, between 45 and 50, steps in and switches the chemistry so that the men now are more or less masculine, feminine, and the women, postmenopausal, pre-andropause men are very masculine. Post-andropause, they're very feminine.
Right.
Premenopausal women are very feminine. They're still on estrogen. Post-menopausal women are masculine.
Right.
So they become equal.
And what's so amazing about that is when that chemistry changes in the brain, it begins that rewiring, that's the synapses start firing differently than they did before.
You're not kidding.
And so it's a process, and we know it can be learned because it happens naturally.
And I want you to understand how you speak is who you are.
Now, that's an interesting concept because I have a person in my life who is a very good and dear friend to me, and sensual and sexual mate to essentially a Jekyll and Hyde situation. After having the baby, we no longer seem to be able to communicate with one another verbally, sexually, or physically on any level. Although we were in business together.
There it is.
And we continued to operate the business.
That's
our
it.
Love and family life fell to ruins.
Yes.
I've never understood exactly what happened. My question is, was it us having the child? What happened?
It sounds like the child was not a decision of two people.
Right.
It sounds Do you know anything about
that? I don't. This is just okay. All there is in the question. She
because many men lose their wives to the child that he gave her.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And by that, I mean men sense that the child's well-being comes first.
Right.
You see, a child in a family of a mother and a father should be a joint project for
right.
the man and the woman, not an escape hatch for the woman and a competitor with the father.
I see.
You see, you're mm-hmm. a wife and a husband first. The joint project of the child is a joint project.
Right.
Either that or that is going to be like an alien in the family.
Right. The white elephant in the room.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
So if those people were to get to a, quote, communication therapist,
mm-hmm.
I'm one of them, but there are others. If they could negotiate a deal about time, space, money, and play, they could rebuild the primary focus of I'm a wife and a husband first, and we either have children, do you see?
Right.
Or we're going to have a great business and our marriage is going to go down. We're either going to make babies or money, one or the other.
One or the other.
There's only three
sense.
Motivators, money, sex, and mind-altering chemicals.
Right.
Now, money and sex. Money is a great dopamine producer.
Yes, it is.
And sex is a great dopamine producer.
Definitely.
But babies are part of the sex game.
Right.
So people that are devoted to being in the sex game for dopamine, which is often mothers, often sometimes it's fathers.
Right.
Mothers that want to be career women and that's what I was talking about. There are more men that want to be homemakers and
right,
fathers.
Right.
So it's, you got to remember, you got to be an I to be a we to be an us.
Yes.
But if you become so much of an I that your marriage no longer is a we, then you're probably going to have project kids and project businesses where you make money. And kids.
Money and kids, right. Okay, to my emailer that sent in your question, I hope you heard what Dr. Allen had to say. The last portion of her statement was, is there any hope? So, yes, Dr. Allen is saying you can seek couples therapy if your partner is willing. Then
get the DVD I made of the over 50 relationship.
Oh, that's an awesome one, and you can find that at www.wantistore.com, the same place you will sign up for our July 5th seminar. And, Dr. Allen, we are almost out of time, if you can believe it. It goes so
okay.
fast. What have you got to say tonight to us to close?
Remember what I said earlier. The more men and boys are respected, the more they feel cherished and are able to give cherishing. The more women are cherished, the more they feel respected.
Yes.
Women have to feel good to do good. Men have to do good to feel good.
Yes. Okay, everybody, visit our webpage, www.drpatallen.com. Sign up for our newsletter and get a free special little gift. Follow us on Facebook because we love it when you do that. Tweet with us because that's fantastic. Find us on Google Plus, www.wantistore.com. And thanks again to our sponsor, The Want Institute, www.wantinstitute.org. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.